Welcome, welcome to the Living Savior Church today. Praise the Lord. We're so glad you're here. We just love Jesus here, don't we, Brother Bill? He's an awesome God, and he shows up and does good things. Praise the Lord. He's good. Yes, we love serving Jesus. There's so many promises in God's Word. The last few weeks, we've been talking about all the good ones. We haven't covered near all of them, but you know, there's some tough ones in there. You know, there's good promises and there's bad promises. And we don't like to hear the bad ones, do we?
No.
When God says he'll do something, but you know, there's some of those in there. I'll tell you, there's so many people that don't know those promises. They just don't understand who we are, what we have, and what God will do. But he is an awesome God, and he'll do exactly what he said in his word. So Father, in the name of Jesus, we praise you and thank you that you're the King of kings, Lord of lords, and God of gods. And I thank you, Lord. I'm so grateful for everything you do. Now, Lord, as we talk about your word today, I ask you to bless it as it goes forth. And I want to thank you for being a blessing to each one of us as we serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, I told you about some of the prayers I had prayed for equipment and things like that. And last Monday, we had a little apron out in front of the shop formed up. We needed about probably 12 yards of concrete to pour it. And so, you know, that's about $1,000, $1,200 worth of concrete. So I just thought, well, I'll run over to the concrete plant and tell them, you know, that I am ready. And when they get a truck that comes back, when somebody don't need it, if they bought too much, to call me and we'll take it. I've done that many times. And I poured my son's entire parking lot in front of his gym with free concrete. That's just amazing what you can do by faith. In fact, I'll tell you how that got started. You know, when I got my son's building built and the parking lot graded off, I was out of money. I know none of y'all have ever been in that shape before, but I was out of money. I built his building. I bought his equipment. I fixed him up. But now I needed many thousand dollars to pour a parking lot for people to park on. And I was out of money. I had enough money for the steel, but I didn't have enough money for the concrete. So I told the guys, I said, today I want us to go out here and we're going to form up a 20 by 20 section here at the very front corner for concrete. I said, I don't have no money, but by faith, all things are possible by faith. So I said, God's going to provide the concrete. You know, they thought, okay, you know, they're pretty good Christian guys. You know, they ain't walking there yet, but they're, you know, they don't laugh at me too much. So we go out there and form up. And we put the steel in it, and a guy comes by and pulls up and stops on the side of the road, walks over, and he says, sir, what you fixing to pour a parking lot here? I said, yes, sir, I am. He says, well, we'd like to sell you the concrete. I said, well, I ain't going to buy it. He said, what do you mean you ain't going to buy it? I said, well, I built this building for my son and bought all that equipment in there, so now I'm out of money. So I'm a man of faith, so I'm going to let God bring me the parking lot concrete for free. He said, I ain't never heard nobody say that in my life. I said, well, you finally met one. I said, I'm a man of faith. I believe when God said, if I can believe, nothing is impossible with me. Amen. Is that what he said? Amen. He said that many places. So he said, you're serious about this, aren't you? I said, yes, I am. I know God's going to provide this concrete for me for free. I said, by the way, why did you stop and ask me? He said, well, I'm one of the managers for Lattimore Concrete over here. And he said, we sell lots of concrete. And I thought we would sell you the concrete. But he said, you know, we have lots of overage too. And said, if you have people that were here and you're ready all the time, now we can't wait, but if you're ready all the time, I can call you when I have a truck come back or a half a truck come back. If you want it, we'll give it to you. I said, I'll take it. So that afternoon he called and said, you're ready for a load, aren't you? I said, yes, I am. He said, I got one come back right now. I said, I'll send it right over. Be there in 20 minutes. Well, they brought it over. One day after we'd poured many yards of concrete, we're getting the parking lot pretty well done. And I thought to myself, okay, the Lord, today I am going to build up. I'm going to put a section here 100 foot long, 20 foot wide. I'm really going to have some faith today for concrete. And just a little while, a guy called and he said, Thurman, are you ready for concrete? I said, yes, sir. I'm ready. How much you got? He said, 11 truckloads. I said, now, wait a minute. I said, you can't be serious. Oh, you see what happened to my faith right there, didn't you? That's okay, Gracie. Go ahead and laugh. That's okay. We all have those days, girl. I said, you can't be serious. You got to be kidding me. You can't be giving me 11 truckloads of concrete. He said, I am. He said, there's a big pour. We were going to do in Fort Worth. We loaded every truck and headed them that way and said, the guy just called and said, it come a downpour down there and he can't pour, but he's already bought them. So he said, we got to dump them. So I said, well, bring them. I thought I was really ready for concrete, but I wasn't ready for that much. But I said, okay. He said, the first truck will be there in 20 minutes. I said, okay. So I started getting the guys together. I said, we really gonna have to get ready, guys. We got 11 trucks of concrete coming. And they just done a backflip. They said, 11 truck loads. I said, yes. And about 10 minutes later, the guy called back, said, Thurman, he says, I'm sorry. But that manager, he said, he'll get a pump truck. They'll pump that concrete, but they ain't going to lose 11 truckloads of concrete. So he said, they're going to use it after all. So I said, okay. After I went away, I thought, you know, I should have not had no faith there, Gracie. You see what happened, right? I lost it. But a little later, maybe a week or so later, he called back and he says, are you ready for concrete this time? I said, yes, I am. He said, I have 4.5 trucks. I said, good, bring it on. I'm ready for it. Ain't gonna be no doubt in my mind. Bring me 4.5 trucks. So they brought me 4.5 trucks of concrete, and we poured them that afternoon. And of course, we poured that entire parking lot at my son's gym with overage concrete. And last Monday, I went over and told him a different concrete outfit, I'm ready for concrete. And within 1 hour, he called me and said, we just had a truck come back from Arlington. They didn't need it. And so he says they had one too many trucks. So he said, if you want it, I got a full truck for you. It can be over there in 10 minutes. I said, bring it on. And so we poured the slab. That just goes to show you what you can do if you believe God. That's where I need to be able to walk all the time, in faith, not in unbelief. But unfortunately, we don't know how to walk in faith all the time. Now, one thing I would like to say about us, and one day I'm going to really teach on this, as I was reading scripture this morning, this came to my heart. Every time I look at you, or you look at me, or I look at my wife, or I look at any one of you, when I look at you, I see two people. But yet you're one man standing there, Bill, but I see two people. I see one man that's led by the Spirit of God, and those days when I find him, when he's being really led by the Spirit, there ain't nothing impossible with that man I'm looking at. But I also look at that man, there are some days he's not led by the Spirit, he's led by the flesh. And when he's led by the flesh, some days he ain't too nice to be around. You all understand where I'm coming from? I'm not around Bill that much, but I know he's a human being, because I know about me, I know I'm a human being too. And there are some days I'm led by the flesh and some days I'm led by the Spirit. When I'm led by the Spirit, wow, you'd love to be with me. But when I'm led by the flesh, you might not want to be anywhere close to me. Do y'all understand? Do we all have those kind of days, Charlie?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Oh, goodness. But that's something that we really need to work on, is that Spirit man. We need to let that flesh man die like God said he did in the Word. He's supposed to be dead, but we resurrect him all too many times and too often. So I want us to think about this Romans 5. I'm going to start today in some of these promises. We're going to talk about good promises and bad promises. In Romans 5, 6 through 11, in the King James, I want to look at a few verses here. Romans 5, 6 through 11. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 7 and 8. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. 9 and 10. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. In verse 11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Now, do you look at that as an awesome promise? I mean, sometimes we read that not realizing That's one of those awesome promises. If he hadn't have come and did what he did, just like Dave said a while ago, where would we all be headed? Wow. We'd be headed for death and destruction. I am so glad Jesus came and told us these wonderful things and gave us these awesome promises. So when somebody asks me, are you born again? What do you tell them?
Amen.
Amen. Don't hesitate. If Jesus died on a cross for you, it says if you're willing to confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart the Father raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Is that right?
Amen.
So are you saved?
Yes.
Me too. Do I know I'm saved? As sure as anybody can be, because it's written in that book. I know by faith I am saved. I am born again. I know that I have eternal life. I know that Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. And I know I have already started my walk with him, and I'm going to spend eternity with him. I'm never going to be without him. Isn't that a wonderful thing, Mary? To know that he's your Lord and your God, that he loves you enough that when you were yet a wicked sinner, he came and died for you. Wow, that's an awesome promise, isn't it? I mean, that's probably one of the best promises we have, is it not, Scott? Now let's go to Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 12. Matthew 7, 7 through 12. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. I'm telling you, the church does not believe the promises of God. Is that right, Betty? I mean, what did he tell you to do, young lady? Ask, seek, and knock. And it's a guarantee it'll come to you if you do it in faith, right? So whenever we have a problem in life, or we need something in life, who do we go to? Somebody else. We go to man. Is that right? We go to mankind. We don't go to God. You know, I mean, it's just amazing how few people know the promises of God. We know that he's not talking about just salvation. He's telling us if we need something, right? If we need something, we should ask. Lord, I need whatever. And then begin to thank him and praise him for your answer, right? Ask, and it shall be given you. Well, I'll tell you, here's the way we read it. Ask, and it might be given to you. Seek, and you might find it. Knock, and it maybe might be opened unto you. That's the way we read God's word. We don't believe it like it's written. If you really believed it like it was written, you would ask and thank him for your answer. You know, you really would. Because he made the promises. For it's only a few that ask receive. Is that not what he said? I mean, it couldn't be for everyone that asks receive. That couldn't be true. But so if that's true, then Kim, then why do so few people ask? Why did you not used to ask? You didn't have the word hidden in your heart, right, Scott? You and your wife were married, and you very rarely ever went to God to ask him for anything, did you? But now that you've learned he really will answer prayer, what are you asking for today? Everything. It makes a tremendous difference when you learn that he's really there, doesn't it, Scott? Yeah. I mean, when he's ready to answer prayer. I mean, in everything you do, every day, he wants to be a part of your life, right? And when you learn that, you talk to him all the time, just like a dad, just like your children, just like these boys talk to you when they need something, dad. Amen. Praise the Lord. And thank God they got you. And then thank God you got the Father, because with a line of authority like that, you can't miss, can you? You can pray. I mean, I think about, and I love to tell this story on Jack Sims. He was a great friend of mine. He passed away recently. When I talk about a dad and boys, I think about Jack. He was such a man of faith. He loved God with all of his heart. And he knew these promises, and he knew a lot of them. And he loved to come to our church. They come as often as they could, but they live down in East Texas. It's about a 2 or 3 hour drive from here to where they live. But they came as often as they could. Every day, Jack wanted his family to know God like he knows God. I mean, Jack didn't learn these principles till way longer in life, just like most of us. I mean, when he was a young man, he'd have given anything if he'd have known all these things when he was young, but he didn't. And it wasn't taught to him in church. But as he got older and started reading the Word, and then especially when he started hearing about me, he came here and listened to me teach these promises. And so his faith got mountain high. Well, one day they were having a family gathering, and they were all there together with all the family, the sons, the daughters, the a whole family. And one of the little boys, Zach, was about 9 or 10 years old, kind of like these boys. They were outside playing, so one of the uncles picked up little Zach by the heels and started slinging him around in a circle. He loved it. Little Zach was just hollering until the uncle got a little unstable. He got a little too close to the pickup, which had a trailer hitch ball sticking out, and he hit little Zach's head right in the eye on a trailer hitch ball. When he did that, he knew he'd killed him. Little Zach, the boy that got hit, said he felt his eyeball hit the back of his head. It was so awesome. But Jack, the grandfather, Jack ran over and grabbed little Zach and put his hands on him and began to quote some of these awesome promises of God's Word. Lord, you said I could ask, and anything and it will be given. Lord, you promised. And he began to call God in remembrance of God's wonderful, awesome promises. He said, now, Lord, since you said I could ask for anything and it will be granted me when I take my hand off my grandson's eye, I don't even want a bruise on his eye in the name of Jesus. Amen. What did God say we could ask for? Amen. So why do we not do it God's way? Why do we scream and call 911? That's what most of us do. And watch him lose his eye. But Jack didn't do that. He believed God's promises, screamed those promises in front of everybody. Everybody knew that Granddaddy was crazy. But when Jack took his hands off of little Zach's eye and little Zach looked up, his eyes were both perfect and wasn't either one of them even black. When we come to the Lord and really ask him in faith according to his promises, what did he promise to do? Isn't that something? For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. Isn't that an awesome promise? Now, who is that for? That's for every one of us. That's for every one of us. Go to the next two verses. Or what man is there of you whom if his son asks bread, will you give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will you give him a serpent? Which one of you, if your son asked you for these things, would you give him these bad things? Of course you wouldn't. You would never do that, not as a father. So then Jesus says, 11 and 12, let's see what he says there. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that man should do to you, do you even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Now you notice after this great and awesome promise, he puts a requirement in there. And what is that requirement, Rosemary? What are you supposed to do? You're supposed to follow the rules. You're supposed to love people like you want to be loved. Is that right? You see this in every case in the Bible. When God makes us these awesome promises, he always puts a requirement for us to do something. Walk in love. Obey him. You know, do what he says. In fact, I'm going to take you to a scripture that he gives us an awesome promise, and it's in the, where did I write that? It's in Hebrews 10, 20. Let's just go to Hebrews 10, 23. Hebrews 10, 23. Look at this. Let us hold fast for the profession of our faith without wavering. Let us do what? Hold on to it. I mean, get a hold of it. If God said it, no wavering, right? Oh, but Lord, I've got this. Don't you know that I've got this problem? I've got that problem. I got this stomach issue. I can't walk. My knees don't work. We can tell him all these things wrong with us. But Lord, I'm going to hold on. You said I could ask and I believe. Lord, I'm going to ask you to heal my knees because they're in such bad shape. Thank you, Lord, it's done. I'm holding on to my confession. How are you doing, young lady? Oh, if it don't quit hurting, I'm going to have to go to the doctor. You know where I'm coming from? Is that what we do? I mean, if you don't believe that, you go down to the hospital and the hospital is full of sick Christians. People that profess to be Christians. They're sick and wore out, you know, and they know they're sick and they know they're wore out. They can feel it. They're not going by what they know, the promises of God, with this faith God. They're going by what they see and feel. I mean, it's so easy to walk by feeling. I mean, it's real easy. When you're hurting, when your body's not feeling good, bro, isn't it easy to yield to it?
Yep.
Yeah. It is so amazing. But he says there, for he is faithful that promised. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Now then, if we're supposed to be doing good works, walking in love, doesn't all the church do that all the time? Why does the church not do that all the time? Because you've got that twofold person I talked about a while ago, right? One day you wake up and you're in the Spirit. I mean, when you wake up in the Spirit, wow, what a day. You're bubbly, you're smiling, you're laughing, you're having a good day, everything's going good. I mean, there ain't no sickness and disease could possibly attach itself to your body today, and you're just such a good girl or guy, whatever, you're just having so much fun you can't stand it. And you go back to bed that night, and the next morning you wake up, and when you wake up, the other man woke up, the flesh man. And that day, they ain't nobody can get along with you. They think, what happened to you from yesterday till today? I know none of y'all besides me ever have a day like that. Is that right, Charlie? You ever have days like that, Charlie? No, I ain't gonna ask you that question. Joe's patting him on the shoulder over there. Let's see what verse 25 and 26 says. Then he says in verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day of the Lord approaching. Now, all of a sudden, we go from where we were at there, and what is he trying to tell us to do in this verse? Is that what he's trying to say? Go to church? Where he says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. In other words, if we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, if you're a Christian, does God want you in church? At least somewhere. And it would be probably nice once or twice a week or something. You know, he wants you in church somewhere. Do you agree with that? First of all, the verse before that, he's telling us to walk in love, right? Mm-hmm. Is that what he was doing? He was telling us to walk in love with people? Was that what he said? Okay, so if he's telling us to walk in love, now he's telling us to go to church. Is that right?
Yep.
And he said, even the more so as you see the day of the Lord approaching. Well, if you've done any study of God's word at all, let me tell you, if you don't see the King's approaching, you're dead in the Spirit. That's all I got to say. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're listening to any Christian television, you're reading the Word of God, I'm telling you, with what's going on in the world, Jesus could come back almost any time. Now, I believe that the return of the Lord to catch away the church will be on a Rosh Hashanah. Now, that's in the fall every year. There's the Feast of Rosh Hashanah. And this year, it's what, September the 4th? Okay, so it's not very far off, is it? Today, wow, September the 4th, that's only about 2 weeks off, right? Woo, glory to God. Are you ready? What if this year was the year that he come for the church? I hear people all the time talk about Matthew 24 and all that stuff, but I don't believe that has nothing to do with the rapture of the church. I don't believe Jesus even talked about the rapture of the church. I thought he was talking about Israel and the nations. So the rapture of the church is an entirely different thing. But I think it'll happen on a feast day, and I believe it'll happen on Rosh Hashanah. So every year at Rosh Hashanah, I really get ready to go away. I've been doing this for 20 or 30 years, ever since I learned. I wonder if this year's going to be the one. Wow, I think about it. If he were to come this year on Rosh Hashanah, just think, are you ready? I hope you are. How many of you in this room are born-again Christians, and you know you're a born-again Christian? Okay. You know you're a Christian. Okay. If you know you're a Christian, if he comes on Rosh Hashanah this year, are you going? Or are you staying? I'm going. Yeah, I guarantee you. I ain't staying. I'm going with the Lord. I'm going to be caught away at the rapture. And you know, you can do anything you want to. You can try to convince me any other way you want to. Use all scriptures you want to. But I believe there's going to be a rapture of the church. Well, it's written in two different books of the Bible, 1 Thessalonians 4 and 1 Corinthians 15. So I believe that when he says the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and then those of us which are alive and remain are going to be caught up, we're going to be changed in an instant, in a twinkling of an eye, and we're going to be with the Lord forever. I believe that's for me. And he says he's coming for those that are looking for him. I'm looking for him. So that's a promise. I'm ready. I can just imagine on the 4th, if that was it, the 4th of September this year, I can just imagine walking through this church right here, looking up, saying, Lord, it's today, today. And all of a sudden, whoosh, I'm gone in a heartbeat. And I say, yeah, it was today. All right. Praise God. Here I am with Jesus. Are you ready? Are you ready? I'll have to say that Paul Crouch, he's had so many different people on TBN that believe all these different things, and that's okay. You know, they have their way of believing all about the rapture, whether it's going to be pre, mid, or post, or whatever. All that don't bother me. I like to listen to them talk about it. I guess I'm kind of got a special thing about that, kind of like I do healing. You know, I was in a church that didn't believe in healing all those years, and we didn't see nobody get healed. And whenever I started believing in healing, they thought I'd lost my mind. But I sure have got a lot of people healed in the last 30 or 40 years, I will have to say. Lots of them. And it works, doesn't it, Ro?
It works.
It works. So we are worthy because we're sons and daughters of God. The kingdom belongs to us. The King made us worthy. Without Him, we ain't worthy. But with Him, we are worthy. And so we need to call Him in remembrance. Lord, I'm going because of what You did for me. You know, You saved me and I'm worthy now. And so I know I'm going. When the rapture comes, I'm out of here and I'm going to be with You. Now, I do want to walk clean and pure and holy. I want to be in obedience to His Word. But wow. But anyway, I started to tell you about Paul Crouch, and he was had these people on TBN, and they're all talking about different times of the coming of the Lord. And so he went off and prayed, and he said, Lord, I've got to know which one of these men are right. How are we going to tell? We got all these different beliefs, and they're all on here, and I'm letting them all talk about it. But Lord, which one of them's right? What do I do? And he said, I heard the Lord as clear as I've ever heard Him. That's what he said. He said, Paul, just tell them to be ready. I'm coming. So is that good advice?
Amen.
Be ready. I mean, if he comes the 4th of this year, be ready. If he don't come till next year, or if he happens, if I'm wrong, and I could be, it may not be on a Rosh Hashanah. It could be any time. You know, I just believe it'll be on a Rosh Hashanah. But if it happens halfway between this year and next year, I'm going to be ready anytime, aren't you, Jack?
Amen.
So I may be driving down the road in my car. I may be flying somewhere in my airplane. And all of a sudden, whoosh, I'm gone. Wow. Wouldn't that be something? Are you ready? You better make sure you're ready. No, Dave's going too. I ain't leaving him there. No, I told Dave one day, this is before Dave got a hold of the rapture. I think he believes now. But I told him, I said, you're going, because if I have to reach over and get you by the shirt collar, you're going. I ain't leaving you here. We're all going to go together because we all believe in Jesus. One day when we get in heaven, we'll have plenty of time to get with Paul and James and Peter and all of them to talk about the scriptures and some of the things that they taught that was difficult for us to understand. We'll have eternity to discuss the Word of God. And so that's going to be awesome, isn't it?
Yeah.
Praise God. But here he's telling us to go to church. Just think, did God tell us to go to church there? How many people go to church you think that are Christians? What percentage? About 30%? Anybody else got a guess? Would anybody believe that 100% of every Christian goes to church every Sunday?
No.
Oh, that ain't going to happen. I mean, even people that are sick. I had a woman come one time over to healing school. We was getting ready to start at about 10 minutes to 1. Her daughter come running in and say, Pastor, I want you to go out and pray for my mother in the car. She has cancer. I said, well, she's exactly at the right place at the right time. I said, tell her to come in. There's a chair right there, set right there, and I'll teach her faith, how she can get healed. And then after the thing's over, in about 4 or 5 hours, I'll pray for her. She said, no, we can't stay. We're going to Oklahoma to see my daughter. I said, you mean your mother has got cancer and she ain't got time to get healed? She said, well, we just want you to come out and pray for her. That's all we want. I said, well, you can forget it. I said, if your mother had any faith, she wouldn't be sick anyway. I said, she don't have faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. And if you don't have faith, I said, you ain't going to get healed. So I said, I could go out there and anoint her with oil and pray over her and anoint her till she was slick as a greased pig and she'd still die. She'd still die. Because without faith, did God say in His Word, without faith, it's impossible to please Him?
Yes.
And He said, when those that come to me, if you have any wavering, in fact, I'm going to go to that scripture in a minute. But if you waver, in fact, let's go there now, then we'll come back to Hebrews 10:26. Go to James 1, 6 and 7. 5, 6, and 7. Look at this. I just want you to see. People don't believe this. If any of you lacks wisdom, now who of us lacks wisdom? That's all of us. Okay. Let him ask God that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So see, when you ask God for wisdom to do something, why do you go around saying, well, I sure hope he heard me? I mean, you ain't going to get it. No, it's doubt. Isn't that right, Bill? That's that. You got to, when you ask him, you got to say, Lord, thank you for my wisdom. But it's anything. It doesn't matter what you're asking for. But verse 6 says, but let him ask in what?
Faith.
In faith. How much wavering?
None.
Now, what do you think the chances are if I go out and pray for you in the car and you won't even come in to a healing school and you have not been to church and who knows how long? I asked this woman, I said, when's the last time your mother was at church? She said, well, I don't know, but it's been a long time. Okay, if she ain't been going to church, what do you think the chances are of me getting that woman healed? Zero. I can tell you what it is. Zero. I mean, she's not going to meet any of the criteria, but let him or her ask in faith, nothing wavering. Now, if faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, if you're not in church, you're not in a church like this one or some other church like this one that's teaching you the promises of God, because if you don't know the promises of God, Gracie, what do you think you're going to get from God when you ask if you don't know the scripture? What did you get all those years before?
Nothing.
You asked though, didn't you?
Yep.
But you didn't get nothing, did you? But when you learned to ask in faith, what started happening when you prayed? Your prayers started getting answered. I can't believe God's word really means what it says.
No.
Isn't that wonderful? It is awesome. But now you see, Gracie is no different than anybody else. When she didn't know the promises and how to stand on the promises, yeah, she prayed, but she didn't ever get an answer. Isn't that something? Well, when she learned the promises and learned how to stand on those promises, now the king knows in her heart, she knows these things, and so he honors his word. Let him or her ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Verse 7 and 8. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. If you don't come to him in faith, asking him in faith, according to the word of God, if you have any kind of wavering at all, what are you going to get from God? Is that what he said? Nothing? We are definitely a fast food crowd. We have lots of patience as long as it happens right now, right? I have lots of patience as long as it happens right now. Okay, so now let's go back to Hebrews 10:26. First of all, he was telling us to walk in love, provoke one another to walk in love, and then he was telling us to go to church. Is that right? So those are the two things he told us to do. Now then, what if you don't walk in love? What if you don't go to church? Well, let's see what he says here. Now, here's one of those promises you don't like. You don't want to hear this. I've only heard this scripture preached on two times in my life by two different pastors, and both of them was wrong. Well, neither one of them even close to what he said. But I'm going to show you what it says, and then I'm going to let you make your own decision. For if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no sacrifice for sin. Now, stop and think about that. If we sin willfully. In other words, I've been to church, and I heard God's word say, I'm to walk in love. Have you heard that today? Did God command you to walk in love? He also commanded you to go to church today in the next verse, did he not? But you ain't going next Sunday. You ain't going until you feel like it again. Now then, do you know beyond a shadow of doubt you're supposed to walk in love? And you don't do it. Now you know you're supposed to go to church, and you ain't going to go there either. I'll go when I want to. I ain't going to go every Sunday. Now then, you have the knowledge. Then he says, if we sin willfully, after we have knowledge of the truth, I know I'm supposed to go to church, I know I'm supposed to walk in love, but I ain't going to do it. I don't look at it like this. Even my flesh man don't look at it like this. That I'm going to do what I want to do. God's a loving God. He would never discipline me for, he would forgive me after all. Isn't he a loving, sweet God? He will forgive me. Well, let's see what the scripture says. Now, you've been told to walk in love, right?
Yes.
You've been told you need to go to church. Now, did I tell you that or did the word of God tell you that?
The word of God
told you that. So it's not my problem to do anything but tell you what God says. He says, but if you sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for those sins. but a certain fearful looking for of judgment. Now, why? The church don't believe God will judge us. He's got to be talking about somebody else. He would never do that to me. Well, let's see if that's what he says. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversary. Do you want to be one of God's adversaries? Do you want to be made sick and hurting? No, I don't want to be that guy. Now, had I rather walk in love? It pays much better dividends. Had I rather be in church every time the doors open? Yeah, it pays good dividends. Because who told you to do that? The king did, and he's in charge. Well, let's see what else happens after verse 27. Let's see here. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under the two or three witnesses. Now, he's trying to tell you, under the law, if you were caught in the act of adultery under the law, two people come and said, Bill was caught in adultery. That's all it took, wasn't it? No question that. What'd they do to you, Bill, under the law?
They just got me killed.
Yeah, they just killed you. What if those guys were lying? It still got you killed.
Yeah.
Because they believed those two witnesses, right? Especially if there were three of them. In other words, if these guys wanted to gang up on Bill and get rid of him, that's all they had to do. Is that right, Betty? That was according to the scripture, right? Didn't have to prove him guilty or nothing. They just killed him. Now, is that pretty severe? I mean, but was that the way the law was working? This is the way it worked. And he reiterates that. He says, he that despised Moses' law died. In other words, to despise Moses' law, you got to break it. In other words, if you love the law, you'll keep the law. But if you despise it, you say, I don't care what the law says. I'm going to do what I want to do. And then if you get seen by somebody and they tell on you, then you get killed. So he says, but he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Now let's go to verse 29 and 30. How much more? Now wait a minute. Killing you is pretty bad, Scott. But he says, of how much more sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who has trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Now, who is this guy that we're talking about here? Is this a lost person this is talking about? You were sanctified by the Word of God? That makes you a believer, doesn't it? Yes, it does. He says, suppose you shall be thought worthy, how much worse punishment, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Okay, so I ain't going to walk in love. I've heard it, but I ain't going to do it. You know, I'm just going to do what I want to do. After all, it don't make any difference. I don't have to love you. I mean, I don't have to, do I? But who commanded me to love you? Oh, so I still don't have to do it, do I, Bill? If I'm not going to be judged, I'm going to have to do it. Now then, if I say, well, I don't want to go to church. This one young lady here somewhere told me a while ago, she thought about 30% of the Christians is all that went to church. And how many of y'all believe that's probably right? How many people do you know that call themselves Christians that ain't been to church in 10 years, 20 years? You know those kind of people? Yeah, I'm okay. Don't worry about me. I'm a Christian. I don't have to go to church. You don't have to go to church to serve God. You ever heard that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh my goodness. And then those people are sick and afflicted. Their children are sick and afflicted. And then you try to tell them, well, you're sick or your children are sick because you're disobeying God. That's not true. God would not put sickness on me. Yeah. Well, I don't know. Will he? Well, let's see what he says. Let's go down a little further. Maybe we hadn't hit it yet. Let's go to the next one. For we know him that has said, vengeance belongs to me. Now, who do you think that's talking about? That's God. Vengeance belongs to me. I will recompense, says the Lord. So there ain't no doubt about who he's talking about, is it? I will recompense, says the Lord. For we know him that has said, vengeance belongs to me. I will recompense, says the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge who?
His people.
So he definitely talking about the lost world out there right there. He's talking about the people in the church. He's talking about the people in the church that have not obeyed him. Now see, here's one of these promises that most of us as Christians don't want to hear this. We want to turn this off. No, God's a loving God. He would never judge me. But just as all those wonderful promises, ask, seek, and knock, and it's yours, you got to obey Him to make that work. And if you don't, then this is what happens. Now, this is why people are sick and afflicted and have all kinds of problems, because they don't do what He says. We got about, like this one lady here said, maybe 30% of the people that she knows that might be Christians that goes to church. I think that's probably a pretty good number, maybe less, you know, maybe 20%. But I'll tell you for sure, if we all understood these principles like they're written, how many of us that are Christians would be in church next Sunday? Every one of us would be in church. If I knew I was going to be judged if I didn't come to church, I'm telling you, there ain't nothing I'm going to put before God next Sunday. You know, in fact, you know how many Sundays I'm in this church? I never miss one. Even if I'm out of town, I'm back for Sunday, right? Only thing happens if an airplane breaks or something and I get home. That happened one time. The Lord shall judge His people. He didn't say the devil was going to do it either, did He? Said the Lord's going to. And then He said, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Do you want to fall into the hands of a living God?
No.
In other words, this whole scripture that I've talked about here, we started out, He's telling you as Christians, you need to walk in what?
Love.
Does that make it a little bit more enticing?
Yes.
I'm going to tell you a story. A lady come to me one time, and she was a doctor's wife, and her mother-in-law got down really ill, and so she had to go take care of her. And she was a really good health caregiving lady. She knew a lot about medicine and things because her husband was a doctor. But her mother-in-law was a really hard woman to get along with. Even though she was sick and afflicted, and she was over there like 3 weeks, and it didn't make any difference what she did for this woman. She could do nothing that pleased this woman. Instead of being thankful, in other words, if I was sick and afflicted and somebody's overtaking me, care of me, I would be the easiest guy to get along with, Bill, you ever see. I would thank them and praise the Lord for sending that person, wouldn't you? Yeah, because otherwise you're on your own, but not this woman. She grumbled and complained, and so after 3 weeks, she finally got well enough for the daughter-in-law to go home. The daughter-in-law told me, standing right here, she told me this story. She said, I went out and got in my car. I drove down the road, and I'm saying, Lord, I don't care what happens to her. From this day forth, I will never go back to that house. I will never go back to see her again. I will never take care of her again. And she comes to a red light and stops, and she hears the Lord say, would you like to see what it looks like in the belly of a big fish? How many of you would like to see what it looks like in the belly of a big fish? Has God ever done anything like that, Gracie? Oh, He put another man in the belly of that fish that didn't do what He said to, didn't He? Can He still do that today? I mean, He could make that fish come out here on dry land. That fish could be sitting right out there at your door. When you go out, God can make that fish live out of the water. Can He do anything? Yes, He can do anything. In fact, she told me, she said, Thurman, as soon as the Lord told me that, He called my name and said, how would you like to see what it looks like in the belly of a big fish? And she says, Lord, I'm sorry. I repent. If I have to go back, I will go back and love her and take care of her again, whatever it takes, Lord. Now, did God tell her to love her? Okay, so if He told her to love her and she don't love her, would He be justified in this scripture of putting her in the belly of a fish?
Yes.
He sure would, wouldn't He? Now, wouldn't all of y'all love to spend the next 24 to 48 hours in the belly of a big stinky fish's stomach? You don't even want to think about that, do you? But see, here's the thing about God. God makes us all these wonderful, awesome promises, which are out of this world, aren't they, Bill?
Yep.
But He also tells us some things He'll do to us if we don't do what He says. And we don't like those, do we? No, we don't like them. But when I look at this scripture, Hebrews 10:26, if I make a choice not to love and I make a choice not to go to church, that's just two things. But really, the scripture is talking about the entire promises of God. I'm supposed to be that loving, sweet guy. You're supposed to be that loving, sweet woman or guy. Is that right? Is God talking to me only or to all of us?
Everybody.
He's talking to every one of us. Now, if we do not do what He says, what's He going to do to us according to Hebrews 10:26? God's going to judge His people. Is that what He said? He didn't say He's going to judge the lost world right here, did He? He's talking totally about the church, if I'm reading this right. He ain't talking about the lost world. He's talking about the church. It couldn't be much clearer than that, could it? So if I were to tell you that God's talking about a lost man right there, what would you think? No. Like I say, there's a pastor I listen to quite often. I highly respect him. I would never give his name or even tell you the city he's in. But I heard him preach on this one time, and he said God's talking about the lost man right there. And I thought, man, that ain't no way he's talking about a lost man. He's talking about a Christian. Then I heard another one that's a really fairly good faith man, I think, but he's taught on that same scripture. And man, he's just as far out in the left field as the other one was. I thought, wow, what is it we don't understand? That's why I'm beating this thing into pulpwood here. I want you to tell me, am I teaching that scripture right? Is that what it said? Did God say love? Did God say go to church? Did God say that if we willfully sin, that means we don't walk in love or we don't go to church or any other number of other things. If he says we don't do it, what's he going to do to us? He's going to judge us. Is that what he said? It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Would you like to try out that fishy stomach? When we heard that Jesus Christ was the one and only sacrifice for sin, we accepted him as Lord and Savior, and he forgave us. He washed us clean. Now then, later we sin and we realize that we've sinned. Sometimes we don't figure it out for a long time. Sometimes we know pretty quick that we sin and we say, Lord, I ask you to forgive me. Does he forgive us? Yes, he sure does. But what if we go up to him and say, okay, God, I know you told me to walk in love with that person. I know you told me in the Word that I'm supposed to not commit adultery. That seems to be so prevalent out there today. I'll use it. But Lord, I'm going to move in with this boy, or I'm going to move in with this girl, whichever. I'm going to move in with her because she's so pretty, you know, and I really want to enjoy sex with her. And someday, Lord, if I like her, I'll marry her, you know. But Lord, I know it's wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway. And so he moves in. You just committed. There's no sacrifice for that sin left, Jack. You just forewent that. He is going to get you. Now then, if you come back to him later, let's say that you're really sick, you're down or whatever, and you come back and say, okay, God, I'm so sorry. I will move out. He says, okay, go ahead and move out. But you're going to continue. There's no sacrifice for your sin left, so you're going to complete the judgment before you get healed. Even though you move out, you're going to suffer the consequences. And so the guy may be sick for another 3 or 4 or 6 weeks, or who knows how long it's going to be. But he is not going to get healed. I can tell you for sure, when that guy realizes after his sickness, disease, and everything else, now then, Lord, I'm going to repent. I know what I did was wrong. I knew well before I did this it was wrong. Do you think there's some people that moves in with a mate that really don't know that it's wrong?
Yes.
Well, I think so. I think some people, I really believe there are some people that really, they kind of got an inkling in the back of their head that this is not right, but they see so many people do it today, it must be okay. You take a Christian like me or you, Jack, that's been in the Word, you decide, or I decide, I'm going to leave my wife and move in with another woman, there ain't going to be no sacrifice for that sin. I'm going to get a spanking that's out of this world. You see the importance of studying the Word and walking in obedience to the Word. I mean, who knows, Jack? I mean, even that tumor we talk about on the back of your hand, that come up for some reason.
Right.
And so we have no idea, I have no idea, and maybe you probably don't either, what you did that allowed the enemy to put that on you, that God sent that demon to do that. And it was there for 40 years until you finally repented and stepped into the world of faith. And then it didn't go away for 6 or 8 months,
right.
And it finally went away.
Yeah.
See, in the meantime, you suffered all that consequence. See, it makes good sense. Now, whenever I think about the doctor's wife, I mean, that was so amazing that day she stood right here and told me that she said, when I told God, I ain't going back. Now, this woman's a woman of God. I mean, she goes to church. She's in Sunday school. She knows everything. She knows the scripture. She knows she's supposed to walk in love. She knows she's supposed to love her mother-in-law. But that day she woke up, it wasn't the spirit man that woke up. It was the flesh man. Is that right, Betty? See, we all got one of them, don't we? I mean, can you hear that flesh man in there saying, you ought to just get even with her. I mean, you've been over here for 3 weeks. You've been up night and day taking care of this woman. All she's done is give you a hard time. She didn't even tell you thank you when you drove off. She was fussing at you. You just don't ever come back to see her. Can't you just hear those voices talking to her? And boy, she just chimed right in with it. That's right. I'm never going to come back to her. She can get sick and die if she wants to, but I ain't coming back. She'll have to find somebody else. And God was not intimidated at all. I don't even remember what her name is. I'll just use Susie. Stopped at a red light. Susie, would you like to see what it looks like in the belly of a big fish? No, Lord. He didn't have to say anything else. Would he have to say anything else to you? No. See, but see, does God know exactly how to get through to all of us? Now then, if he had really wanted to put her in the belly of the fish, he wouldn't have spoke to her. He'd have just let her keep talking. And then she would have had the consequence. But he did talk to her, and praise God. And of course, it changed her life forever. She told me that day, when she told me that story, she said, I guarantee I'm going to walk in love. Does God have to tell her that now every time? No, that's all it took, one time. She got it. But is he trying to tell us that same thing here in the Word? Is he trying to tell us to walk in love and go to church and be obedient to my Word and do what I say? If you do not, he said, there could be a judgment coming. But see, we don't like to hear those promises, but that is a promise from God, just like those good promises, right? Just like ask and you shall receive. Now, we liked that one, didn't we? You know, but if we're not walking in love, if we're not doing that, you notice that if we don't walk in love, then we ask and it don't work. We don't get our answer. You see what I mean? Why do we not get our answer? Because we're not obeying His Word. And most of us as Christians know that it's wrong to do those things, right? I just stand in awe today at the Scriptures. I think these kind of Scriptures ought to be taught on a regular basis. And I'm going to tell you, in my almost 75 years of living on this earth, I watched a lot of Christian television. I saw two in my whole life that ever touched this verse. Two. And both of them was wrong. Both of them was as far out in, I don't see how you could take God's Word and turn it around and make it say something that it doesn't say. And if you don't agree with that, well, then, you have a problem. I believe I'm right. Now then, let's go to John 14, 11 through 18. Let's look at this. John 14, 11 through 18. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake themselves. Now then, if you're coming to a church, if Jesus Christ is being preached by faith, what should be happening in that church? Significant signs and miracles and wonders. The people in the church should be seeing their own prayers answered, not only the pastor, but we should be seeing your prayers answered. Is that right? And in fact, I was so amazed. I hope Jack don't mind if I say this, but a while ago, Jack came to me almost with tears in his eyes at the beginning of the service. He said, Pastor, I want to tell you how much I love you for spending all the hours you have in the Word to teach it to us like it's written. He said, you've changed my life forever. Well, I'm trying to do that for all of you, right? And many of you here have learned how to pray, how to make sure you're walking holy, you're walking in obedience to God's Word. Many of you prayed for your spouse, your children, or for houses or whatever. And you've seen God show up and do awesome things. Isn't that something? But that's what I want to be. I want to be a blessing to you so you can go out and be a blessing to someone else. Is that the way it's supposed to work? That's the way the kingdom is supposed to work. Yes, absolutely. Now then, we're supposed to believe for no other reason, for the very work's sake themselves. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, Jesus, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now, that's a big one. I mean, you and me are supposed to be walking in a place even greater works than the King did, because he lives in us. Now, boy, that's a big one, isn't it? I mean, like, for instance, the afternoon that Cheryl and I, we'd been to church. Good place to be on Sunday, right? We'd been to church all Sunday afternoon. We'd prayed for people, and we finally left, and we left church, and we hadn't had anything to eat all day because we normally fast on Sunday. And then if we do eat, we eat later in the evening. But we stopped at a little waffle house to have an egg and a waffle. And I like to stop there because you get all the food you can eat, and it's not very expensive, too. And that's, you know, I don't like to go in somewhere and spend $30-$40 for a plate of food when I can buy one for $6 or $7. And so I've always been a little frugal with God's money. And my wife will say, frugal, tight is the one more like it. Am I that way, Rosemary? Yeah. I can't help you. That I've been raised to be frugal all my life. I was raised up with nothing. I didn't have nothing, so I had to make it go. So I am really tight with money. And I guess it hasn't been bad because I worked hard. I paid for this place and everything. And now then, you know, I'm so grateful that I'm out of debt and don't have any debt. It's wonderful to be there, but it didn't come spending a lot of money. I had to save, but we stopped at the Waffle House and we're having a waffle and the phone rang. And it was Eldon. He called Cheryl's number. He said, Cheryl, a man I know real well from Salt Lake City, Utah, had just fell out of a tree 35 foot up in the air and broke his back. Said, yeah, crushed his back. Said, I give him some of your CDs and DVDs. Said, it happened last Tuesday and today's Sunday. He's laying at home in his bed in excruciating pain. And he watched one of these CDs or DVDs that you made, and he listens to your miracle teaching, and he wants to know if he buy you and Cheryl an airplane ticket, would y'all fly to Salt Lake City tomorrow and pray for him? And I said, Cheryl, honey, do we have anything on the books tomorrow? She says, no, you can afford, you can take off. I said, okay, good. I said, okay, tell him we'll come. So just make us a reservation and we'll come. Now, first of all, if he's got a crushed back and I'm gonna go pray for him, I gotta feel pretty confident that God's gonna answer my prayer. You know, I mean, I just don't go and pray for somebody, let them buy an airplane ticket if I ain't never seen a miracle. If I ain't never seen a miracle, I ain't going. But I've seen my God, our God, do awesome things. And so I thought, okay, so I said, we'll go. And so, anyway, I told him, I said, now, after he makes a reservation, have him call me. And here's my cell phone number. Have him call me. I want to talk to him before we come up there in the morning. So we get through dinner, we get over here to Justin, we go to the mailbox, and we're just ready to come home, and my phone rings, and it's Dr. Young. I said, sir, or how's your back? He said, Thurman, the whole lower bottom of my back is crushed. He said, I fell out of a tree 35 feet up in the air. And he said, I hit the ground on my tailbone, and it crushed my lower back. They care flighted me out of the mountains, took me to a hospital, done a CT scan on me, but my back cannot be fixed. He said, it's ruined. I said, are you in pain? He said, I'm in excruciating pain. I said, well, sir, God gave me an awesome scripture in Mark 11:23. Now, I want us to read this scripture. This is not just for Thurman. This is for all of us. Mark 11:23. For verily I say unto you that whosoever. Now, does that include you?
Yes.
It's supposed to. That whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So if God says I can literally speak to a mountain and move it into the sea, it should be no problem speaking to a little bitty back. Is that right? I mean, this is the mentality I used on thinking this through. I mean, I've done a lot of dirt moving in my life with dirt moving equipment, and I know what it takes with the finest stuff we got to move a mountain of dirt. It takes some effort. And if he says, if I have faith and doubt not, I can speak to that mountain, command that mountain to move, and it'll go. So therefore, he says, if you have that kind of faith, not only can you speak to the mountain, but he said you can speak to anything. Is that what he said? Whatever you say with your mouth, if you believe it with your heart, you can have it. Is that what he said?
Amen.
Now, but surely he didn't mean that, huh? You think he really meant that? But you know, most of us don't think that. You know, I mean, I used to read that once in a while, but I didn't think that. I never dreamed about speaking to a mountain. In fact, that was so far absurd, I thought, wow, I wonder what he meant by that. I was a good Baptist, Jack, just like you. So anyway, I took that verse. I said, sir, Jesus made me an awesome promise in Mark 11:23. He says, whatever I say with this mouth, if I can believe with this heart, I can have it. So I said, I'm going to speak a supernatural healing into your back right this moment in the name of Jesus, and I guarantee it's going to happen. Did you hear any faith in that?
Yeah.
Wow. I said, call me with your praise report, and I hung up the phone. Wasn't that a long prayer? Didn't I do a lot of pleading and begging?
No.
I just spoke one time. We got home. 15 minutes later, I'm unloading the pickup. My phone rings. I don't recognize the number. And I punch a button. I said, yes, hello, this is Thurman. He said, Thurman, this is Dr. Young. I am already completely healed. Completely healed. He said, the minute you prayed, my pain quit. I scooted over to the side of the bed, put my feet on the floor. I could stand up by myself. He said, I walked around there in the room a few minutes, and then I thought, well, I wonder if I could walk up the stairs. So he said, I walked up the stairs and back down. Then I picked up my five-year-old son. I run up the stairs with him and back down. Then I throwed him on my back and ran outside to all my neighbors and started screaming, I'm healed in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I'm healed. He said, I'll pick you and Cheryl up at the airplane myself tomorrow. And he did. He picked us up, and we spent the next 3 days in his home. He took us everywhere. He had about 750 people working for him. He had clinics and things all over the place, but there was none of them knew the Jesus that I knew. Now, Bill, who do you think healed his back? Jesus. I'm on a telephone, and he's 1,000 miles away in Salt Lake City, Utah. And God gave him a brand new back. So we went up there and spent 3 days, walked around and talked to him and everything, and just had a great time. He took us out to dinner every night. We had all kinds of fun, and then we got to come home after 3 days.
Hallelujah.
And we got to enjoy all the benefits of what Jesus did. Isn't that wonderful? Now then, who told us we could do such things as this, young lady? Who said we could do things like that? My goodness gracious. Jesus? He really said that?
Yeah.
Why don't we use it more often? If we could get rid of doubt, what would be impossible with us? That's what the king says. Oh, yeah. Dr. Young's feeling so good. He goes in one of his offices or something. And one of the doctors said, Dr. Young, let's do an x-ray on your back. Now, this Dr. Young has been lifting weights, running, playing, having a good time. Everybody knows he's totally healed. And so this doctor takes him in, does a x-ray of his back. And when he gets through x-ray, he comes out and says, Dr. Young, don't bend over. Now, this is the height of stupidity, Mary. You talk about unbelief in the world. He said, what do you mean? He said, in the x-ray, there's nothing in the lower three vertebrae. There's nothing there. He said, it's not there. It does not show up on x-ray. So there's nothing holding your upper and lower back together. So don't bend over. You'll fall apart. Now, for 60 days, he's been running, playing, and everything else. Now, does anybody remember the prayer? What did I pray for? What did I ask God to do? Give him a what?
Supernatural.
Oh, does your words make a difference?
Oh, yes.
Your words make all kinds of difference. Lord, give Dr. Young a supernatural healing in his back. And what did the king do?
Supernatural.
He gave him something supernatural that's so unique that the x-ray equipment we got won't detect it. Is that an awesome God? In fact, only a few months ago, on Sunday morning, I was in there studying where I always am on Sunday morning. I get a phone call. Thurman, this is Dr. Young. I said, well, praise God, how are you doing? He said, I'm just great. He said, I just bought myself a new airplane. He said, I'm out here at Redbird Executive Airport. And he said, I'd just love to take you for a ride in my new airplane. Can you come out here? I said, no, Dr. Young, today is Sunday. I said, I prepare on Saturday and Sunday to teach my message on Sunday afternoon. I said, no. I said, sometime when you're here during the week, holler at me and I'll come out and go for a ride with you in your new airplane. But I said, today I can't go. I would love to, but I said, I just can't. He said, well, I'd sure love to take you for a ride. I said, now, I'd love to go, but I can't go today. Now, isn't that something? A few months before that, or actually a few years it's been now, he was laying there in the bed with a crushed back. And every doctor in the country that checked him said, it's impossible. You won't never walk again. But today he's running and playing and everything's working perfect and he has a set of whatever back there that the radar won't detect. That's what it is, radar, right? Some form of radar. They x-ray you. And it's not detectable. I mean, that's what you call a stealth fighter. He comes in under the you can't get him. You can't detect him, right? What can God do?
Anything.
Now, what did he tell us we're supposed to be able to do? Look at that scripture one more time. For verily I say unto you, put your name there, that whosoever, for verily I say unto Thurman, that Thurman shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. And if Thurman does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which Thurman says shall come to pass, Thurman shall have whatsoever he says. Is that what that says?
Yes.
Can you read that and put your name in it?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. That God didn't just give it to me, did he, Betty?
No.
He gave it to the church.
That's right.
Wow. Wow, let's go back to John 14, 11, 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me. Now, that's supposed to be us, right? Are we believers in Jesus?
Yes.
All the way. Okay. The works that I do shall he or you do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father. You know, when a storm comes, this is so funny. Here a while back, we had a big storm come through Dallas, South Dallas. And it was just tearing up stuff, blowing 18-wheel tractor trailers. I mean, you could see them. Did y'all see that? It was blowing them things plumb over. I mean, just unbelievable. And my phone rings. Thurman, this is so-and-so. I said, oh, yeah. And I said, what word you called me for? He said, you know, I'm an insurance adjuster. I said, yeah, I know. He said, will you please not pray? I said, what do you think is going to happen when I pray? He said, I know the storm's going to stop. That's what's going to happen, and I need the work. So he said, don't pray. Is that awesome or is that awesome? An insurance adjuster called me and told me, please don't pray for the storm to stop. He wanted the house to tore up, so he has some work. Now, I don't know about you, but I love to be known like that. I love to be known like that. But now, who should that be for? The church. That's right. God's not giving me some kind of special something. He's just giving me his word. And I stand on his word. And when you stand on his word, I just think how many times I have spoken to storms and seen them stop. Many, and you've done that too. Many of you have done it here. When you speak to that storm, but remember, you have to have how much doubt?
None.
That's exactly right. If that little doubt comes in and you say, oh, I, you missed it, you lost it, you can't have that doubt in your heart. You got to remember that. Let's see what verse 13 and 14 says. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, the name of Jesus, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, this scripture, before Cheryl and I were married, she called me one day and said, my daddy's in the hospital and he's dying. I said, how old is he? She said, I think 85 or something like that. I said, well, won't you just let him go home? He said, no, I'm not ready for my daddy to die. I said, okay. So I said, what do you want me to do? She said, I want you to pray the prayer of faith for me. I said, okay. So I prayed the prayer of faith for her. I said, now take that scripture, John 13:14. You go back in there and you open your Bible, and every time the doctor tells you your daddy's going to die, you said, thank you, but I don't receive that. I'm going to believe the promises of God. Cheryl went back in there with her 85-year-old daddy. I think there's five doctors said, Cheryl, we're sorry. Your dad's fixing to pass away. She said, thank you, but I don't receive that. I have the word of God. Isn't that something? How could she be so crazy, huh?
She knew that word. She knew that scripture.
She was listening to the word, wasn't she?
Amen.
But guess what? Everybody down there thought this woman had lost her mind. Yeah, they almost throwed her out of the room, couldn't let her be in there because, you know, she's here with a book in her hand called the Bible that says, thank you, I don't receive that. I'm going to believe what Jesus says. Yeah. Well, let me tell you, guess what happened to her daddy? He fully recovered and went back to work. I'm telling you, and started driving a car again and everything. After five doctors said, it's over. Today, it's over. He ain't going to make it through the day. She said, thank you. I don't receive that. My pastor just prayed with me, and he told me these two verses. Take these verses and stand on these verses. And she said, I'm standing. Now then, is that what she did?
Yes.
So it must have had Cheryl's name in there too, huh?
Amen.
So has it got your name in there?
Amen.
It will when you put it in there, right? When you put your name in that scripture by faith, that verse will work for you just like it did for me and Cheryl. Is that right? Isn't God's promises awesome? Did he make us some awesome promises? Did he make us some awesome, good promises?
Amen.
Did he make a few of them that's kind of tough? We don't want to hear them. Is that right, Jack?
Lots of them.
It's not just one or two of those, is there, Jack? Woo. As you've studied the Word, you see them in a whole new light now, don't you, Jack?
Today I read Deuteronomy 28. There's a lot more bad ones than good ones.
Oh, yes. There's only 14 verses of good ones. There's about 60 verses of bad ones. Oh, my goodness gracious. But under the new covenant, if we'll walk holy, walk in obedience to God's Word, there's only one commandment you have to keep. Under the new covenant, you have one command. What is it?
Love.
If you love, you're not under the law. You're under grace. And you don't have to keep any of the law. None of it. Isn't that something? If you walk in love, do you do any bad things to anybody when you love them?
No,
nothing. There's nothing wrong with love. Now then, you can try, and of course, the thing that's so amazing in the Galatians 5, he's talking about circumcision and uncircumcision, but what he's trying to say, if you add anything to Christ, you fell from grace. So you fall back under the law. And so that's where the devil has legal right to get you. So that's why so many Christians are sick and afflicted, because they don't know that if I walk in faith, I walk in love. If I walk in love and walk in faith, there will be no sickness there. You will not be sick. If your body is sick now and you start walking in love, your body will start getting well and straighten up. You'll start getting well. You'll be strong. You can run and play again. You can be like Jimmy Davis. Jimmy Davis's son was here at the last healing school, and he said, my dad told me to tell you, hello, Thurman, said he loves you. Said, my dad just got back from a trip from Lubbock to Colorado and back. His dad is 95 years old. Drives his own car and in perfect health. And he was raised up in a great Christian home, and Jimmy never had a sick day till he was 88 years old. Isn't that something? Nothing. Well, I'm telling you, when we walk under the covenant that's given to us by God, when we meet his requirements, he says, I bore your sin, so you're not supposed to sin. Is that what he said? And so I also bore your sickness, so you're not supposed to be sick. So how much sickness is there supposed to be among Christians? None. So if I come down sick with something, where do I have to look? Walk up to the mirror and say, okay, mister, what did you do that didn't please God? Because he's the one, the culprit in the mirror.
Even Paul had sickness after he became as great as he was, yeah. Because he, before he was saved, he killed people.
I know. He was awful.
So he was buffeted with something.
Yeah. Oh, it tells us exactly in 1 Corinthians 12, I believe it is, where Paul says, I was given the thorn in the flesh. The messenger of Satan was sent to buffet me because of the great revelations I've been given. So we know what Paul's thorn was. It was a group of demons that God had sent to keep him humble. You know, because, I mean, when people say, well, I believe I have Paul's thorn, anytime they tell me that, I say, how many books of the Bible did you write? Well, I didn't write any. I said, how many times you been to heaven? Well, I ain't been to heaven. I said, forget it. You didn't get Paul's thorn. don't try to puff yourself up. You ain't get it. You don't have to worry about it. You know, you may have a thorn in the flesh, but it ain't Paul's thorn in the flesh. Paul got to go to the third heaven, did he not?
Yes, he did.
Paul done great things. I mean, he healed the multitudes. He raised the dead. I mean, can you imagine a little boy that falls out of the window, three floors up, and he's sitting there. Of course, his message, I got tickled at Charlie Sunday, after Sunday, last Monday morning when we come back to work. Charlie said, Dermon, man, I can't even sleep in your service. He said, you're so exciting. He said, I can't even sleep in there. He said, under a normal church, I could be asleep in 5 minutes. But he said, I can't sleep in your church. I want to know what's going to happen next. Isn't that right, Charlie? Something like that. He said he loved it. But I just think about Paul. Evidently, the little boy wasn't too excited about Paul's message. And of course, just because it's 2 o'clock in the morning, that doesn't have nothing to do with it. The little guy goes to sleep, and he goes to sleep sitting in the window, and what does he do? Fall from three floors to the ground and kills him. Everybody, even after they've been hearing Paul's tremendous message, he's dead. It's over. Paul goes out there and gets down on the little guy. you know, puts his arms on him, prays, thanks the Lord for raising him up. Said, now raise him, get it, he's okay. And he stood up and walked off. Now, that would that be a good message? Would you love to go to a church service like that, Bill? Woo! You talk about God confirming what Paul had been teaching, he just raised that boy from the dead. I would love to see that. I love to see everything God does. But he's an awesome God, isn't he?
Amen.
Now then, he made us the promises. Can we stand on those promises?
Amen.
Now, we don't want to get off into this not going to church and not loving, right? Because there's a... How many of you would like to see what it looks like in the belly of a fish?
No, I
believe I pass, Lord. I don't want to be there. Now, some of us have probably been there. I mean, I'm sure I've been there a time or two. I just didn't know I was in the belly of the fish. But there's been a few times I've hurt so bad for something, I felt like I was in the belly of the fish. Some of y'all may can associate with me, but I would hope that we would walk holy and obedient to His Word, and we would not have to suffer any of those judgments of God. Because He did say He would judge His people, did He not, Bill?
Yes.
I don't want Him to judge me, do you?
Nope.
I want to judge myself, and I don't want to be judged. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I praise You, Lord, and thank You for this beautiful, gorgeous day. Lord, we've had some beautiful days lately, and I thank You for them. It's not been so hot like it normally is in August. Lord, we thank You for the little bit of cool rain we've had in places that's cooled all this off. And Lord, I ask You to really bless us Friday and Saturday as we go to Lubbock. Albuquerque. We go to Albuquerque and Friday and Saturday and teach the Word and then fly back home Saturday night. And we'll be here again next Sunday evening. We'll be here. Lord, I ask You to bless us and bless the people that will hear Your Word in Albuquerque. And then I ask You to take this group and bless them this week as they go forth. May You use them mightily to do great things for Your kingdom. And Lord, we give You the praise and honor and glory for all these wonderful promises that You've made in Your owner's manual. And Lord, help us to walk holy and obedient to Your Word in all things, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.